To the 11th in the series of lectures, Shi'urim, on Rambam, the part of the Mora Nevuchim, the guy from Plex, that deals with the Rambam's famous negative theology. And we are in the middle of Perek Nun Tes, chapter 59, which is located in the Schwartz edition, which I'm increasingly becoming more and more dependent upon. And that's page 149. And there the Rambam is bringing a raya from a Chazal that, in fact, one should not use positive attributes when describing a Kaddish Baruch Hu, describing God. And the Rambam brings the famous Gemara in Brachas and Daflam and Gimel, right? Who the Nachas Kamid Rab Chanin, the person who came to say a tefillah, I guess he was a Chazoras Hashatz, a repetition of the reader, which is commonly understood in English, the Shlira Tzibur, and Rab Chanin said, and the person began increasing the number of accolades, to which Rab Chanin says, it's enough that we only say three. Had we Moshe Ben not said them, we would not have said them, and how come you're increasing them? So the Rambam goes on and says, see that, in fact, actually, that, the Rambam says, this is the last paragraph on page 149. So the Rambam says, I'm seeing here how, in other words, we're supposed to stay away from positive attributes, right? Right? That the only reason we say them is because, in fact, that the Torah used them. Why the Torah used them? The Torah used them because of Dibra Torah Kloshim Bnei Adam. The Torah speaks the language of men. In the last Shia, the last class, we spoke extensively what this means for the Rambam. Goes on, the Rambam says, right? Really, in fact, you should only use these attributes when you're reading the Torah. Because you're reading the Torah, you're reading the Chumash, the Pentateuch, the Holy Scriptures, and how the Scriptures use these accolades for a reason which the Rambam discussed, we mentioned, discussed in Parak Chavav. The accolades were used because people at the time of the Chumash, says the Rambam, had the Torah not used these accolades, they would have been driven towards atheism, and therefore, since they can only relate to a Kodesh Baruch Hu through the apprehensions, human apprehensions, and that's what the Rambam understands the phrase of the Gemara meaning, Dibra Torah Kolosh B'nei Adam. So therefore, the Torah uses accolades too, and says the Rambam, really, we should only refer to these accolades or use them when we're reading the scriptures themselves, Kodesh and Batera. Since Yajik Ezgadela came, page 150, Vehein Nevi'im, and they are Nevi'im. This is the most important word in the Mora Nevuchim. That's the most important word in the Mora Nevuchim Nisi Shorah. The Rambam mentions that the Yajik Ezgadela were Nevi'im. I mean, the fact is, the Yajik Ezgadela were actually not all Nevi'im. However, the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Zayin has mentioned that some of them were Nevi'im. Some of them were Nevi'im. So says the Rambam, we'll explain to what, the question is, why does the Rambam have to mention Anshei Gedolah were Nevi'im? We'll explain this in a little while. But says the Rambam, since the Anshei Knesset Gedolah came along, meaning the men of the Great Assembly, and the Rambam says, Vehem Nevi'im, and they are Nevi'im, V'tiknush Te'amana, and they established that these three words, Gadol Hagibur Vaneira, should be used what? The tefillah and the liturgy of the prayer. But Rasenu hi loyma oitanu vat. So therefore, because of this, we use these three words. In other words, the Rambam is saying they went from the Torah to the liturgy which was established by people who the Rambam says were in fact prophets. And because of that, we can use this liturgy when we pray to a Kaddish Baruch.
What's the significance of the fact they were
Nevi'im? 1 second. That's going to be the entire shiur today.
Sorry.
No, that's okay, fine. Ruach HaDvarim Ha'Elohi, in other words, the basic gist of what is being said, not only said by Rabbi Chanina, in other words, what is the pshat, what is the meaning of Rabbi Chanina? Shu'ayim Emel Furash, there were two things that come together, two factors that allow us to use these words, to attribute, positively attributes to God, right, in tefillah. one, it appears in the Torah. Vasheni, and second, Shanavim tiklus balbem to the Nevi'im. Right? Nevi'im. Once again, the word Nevi'im, established we should use them. Vine lule ha'echach harishim. Had they not appeared in the scriptures, lo ha'inu maskil ma'isa. We would not mention them. Vlule ha'echach ha'sheni. And were it not for the second point, namely that Nevi'im were the people who established our liturgy of prayer, lo ha'inu maitziyim oisim in koyim. We would never take them out of the Pentateuch and place them in the liturgy of prayer. Right? We wouldn't use them to pray. Right? In other words, this was actually what Hanina said to Ha'ud Nachas, the person who was a Shliach Tzibur. Now, what is the Rambam trying to get at? Why, in fact, actually, is the significance to the fact that these are people in the Nevi'im? Okay. Now, first of all, what is Nevuah? What is Nevuah in the Rambam? Nevuah in the Rambam is discussed in the section after this. And the Rambam indicates that Nevuah is a flow from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to the Nevi'im. I'm even going to refer to an article that appears in the first Rishimu, in which actually I quote the Rambam. The Rambam says, actually it's in chapter 36, know that the true reality and essence of prophecy consists of it as being an overflow from God, may he be cherished and honored. This must be the penis translation. Through the intermediation of the active intellect, towards the rational fact in the first place, and thereafterwards towards the imaginative faculty. In other words, what is Nevuah? Nevuah, it's a flow, an overflow from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And somehow the Navi picks up this overflow. Now, what is this overflow? What is it? Now, the overflow is actually described in detail by the Rambam in section chapter 12 of section 2, which is actually in creation. The Rambam, in fact, is faced with the problem, how could we describe, or how could we say that God creates the world? I mean, God creating the world is also a act, you know, there was also describing God doing an act which should violate negative theology. So the Rambam says that basically God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thinks thoughts, and somehow these thoughts somehow overflow and end up creating a world. That's the Rambam's conception of creation. He says this in chapter 12, section 2. Goes on the Rambam and says like this, I'm quoting once again from the translation, the action of the separate intellect is always designed as an overflow, being likened to a source of water that overflows in all directions, and does not have any one particular direction from which it draws from giving its beauty to others. For it springs forth from all directions and constantly irrigates all of directions nearby and afar. Similarly, with regard to the Creator, may his name be sublime, inasmuch as it has been demonstrated that he is not a body, and had been established that the universe is an act of his, and that he is its efficient cause, as we explain and shall explain. It has been said that the world derives from the overflow of God, and that he has caused something that is produced in time to overflow into it. Similarly, it is said that he caused his knowledge to overflow to the prophets. The meaning of this is, these actions are the actions of one who is not a body, and it is his action that is called an overflow. Now, I want to go into detail on how the Rambam actually solves the problem of creation. The creation cannot be an act of God. At least we can't understand it literally, but rather somehow it happens by itself. But what's interesting is the Rambam is making a very interesting parallelism between the creation of the world and knowledge that overflows to the prophets. In fact, the Rambam says in chapter 37 of section 2, You should know that sometimes in prophecy, the intellectual overflow flows only towards the rational faculty and does not overflow at all towards the imaginative faculty. This is characteristic of the class of men of science engaged in speculation. Which means, right, that according to the Rambam, there are two creations. There's a creation of the physical world, and there's also creation of an intellectual world. The thoughts of God are also creation. In other words, the man of science apprehends natural law, which comes about through the flow of thoughts from God, which result in the creation of the physical world as we know it. And the fact that they begin as thoughts of God means that, in fact, there's a rational, natural law that governs the creation. But in addition to that, there's also thoughts of God, which the Navi, which the prophet picks up, and somehow one can also reflect upon these thoughts of God in the same way as a scientist reflects upon the wisdom of the world. That's what the Rambam appears to be saying. Now, the fact is that the Rambam, in the third section of the Magen Avraham, when he discusses prayer, when he discusses tefillah, in fact, makes his parallelism. He says, regarding the source, the Makor, which is a Sefri, which says that the source of tefillah is avodah shebalev, service of the heart. And says the Rambam, the Torah has made clear that this worship, which we have discussed in this chapter, can come about only after intellectual apprehension. The verse says, to love Hashem, your God, and to worship Him with all your hearts and all your souls. That's in Devarim. It says the Rambam, we have already made clear several times that love of God is in accordance with intellectual apprehension. After love will follow worship, which the sages have also referred to as worship of the heart. This is, in my opinion, philosophical reflection on the primary thought and meditation on this as much as possible. Now, what's the Rambam saying? This is a little summary of the article that I wrote in Rishima. The Rambam is saying like this. We know from the Mishnah Torah that how does a person come to love God? The mitzvah of Avas Hashem. The Rambam says in two places in the Mishnah Torah, and you say the Torah, Perek Beis and Perek Yud Hilchos Teshuva, that when a person reflects upon the creation and upon the Chachma, the deep wisdom, which underlies the world, that a person is drawn to love God. What the Rambam seems to be saying is the same thing happens in tefillah. That in tefillah, right, when a person intellectually apprehends, right, has an intellectual apprehension, then, in fact, that constitutes this, a love will follow, and this constitutes the act of tefillah. In other words, the act of tefillah comes as a result of intellectual apprehension. Now, how does the act of tefillah come from intellectual apprehension? I mean, no one davens a physics book. You don't daven the 5-minute lectures. But it must be making 1 + 1 = 2. What I claim is, what the Rambam really means to say, is that the words of the Nevi'im, the words of the prophets, are also a creation. They're intellectual thoughts of God that man apprehends. When man reflects upon these words of God, the words of the prophet, then this is the same thing as reflecting upon the creation, which also comes from the thoughts of God, and this brings a person to love God. And in fact, the Rambam says this explicitly in chapter 51 of section 3. I'm quoting the Rambam. I will now commence to guide you in the proper methodology in order that you shall reach the great achievement, which means davening with kavanah, praying with intention. The first things is it to try to empty yourself of all outside thoughts when you recite the Shema and the prayer, meaning the Shema Esrei, the 18 benedictions. When you accomplish this and it becomes rooted with you in after years, attempt after which every time you read for the Torah or hear it. When this has become rooted in you after a certain period, try every time you read for the prophets and that your thoughts are always pure. Even during all the blessings, reflect upon what you say and pay attention to the meaning. In other words, reflection upon the nusach of the tefillah is the same thing as reflecting upon the chumash. Now, what's the analogy, what's the tzushtel, between the Shemana Esrei and between the words of the prophets? We have it here in chapter 59. Since the Anshei Kenosis HaGadolah were Nevi'im, in other words, the Nusach, the liturgy of the Shemana Esrei, the Jewish prayer, was composed by prophets, who took accolades, took attributes of a Kodesh Baruch Hu from prophecy. In other words, it's an entire prophetic industry. In other words, the accolades originate in the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Anshei Kenosis HaGadolah, who are prophets, compose the tefillah with prophetic inspiration. They actually took the same words and transplanted them. So, when a person prays, what he's doing is he's reflecting upon these thoughts of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, God, in much the same way as when a person reflects upon the world, he reflects upon the Chachmah, the wisdom of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and this constitutes praying with intention, praying with kavana, and this from this comes a love, a gushing forth of a love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's real litvish tefillah. Litvish tefillah is like a limud haTorah. It's like doing science. That's what the Rambam says when he says the Nevi'im. It's the prophetic dimension, the prophetic inspiration that went into composing the liturgy of the Shemana Esrei, which makes it a literal creation of God, the thoughts of God that emerge and are picked up by the prophet, and that allows a person to reflect upon these things like he reflects upon the creation of a Kodesh Baruch, which also originally God's thoughts, according to chapter 12 of section 2. And that's why a person's allowed to daven. That was my pshat in Negative Theology. And not like Dr. Ehud Ben-Or in his article in the Harvard Theological Review, who attempts to somehow solve this crisis of how do I relate to a Kodesh Baruch Hu through prayer if I accept the Maimonidean negative theology. He says a pshat, which I don't want to say it on the internet, but in fact, actually, it's totally contradicted by what the Rambam says in chapter 59, that perfection is a human component, a human apprehension. And that's something that we can attribute. Not every human perfection we attribute to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He wanted to say that anything we think of as a perfection, we can attribute it to God, and that's called tefillah. And I say, Dr. Ben-Or, that's a avodah zarah, that's Christianity. That's not Judaism. Called Reform Judaism. It's Christianity. And I'm very, very surprised, Professor Hillary Putnam, that you gave your haskama to Dr. Ben-Or in an article you wrote on, I don't know, quarterly, but I can't blame you. I don't think you're a mumcha in the Rambam. You're mumcha in other things, but I'm the Rambam. By the way, I like what you said about Wittgenstein and religion. I think that's MS. But in any case, so in other words, that's what the Rambam is saying. What allows me to pray? What allows me to pray, because the tefillahs were composed by the Anshei Kenosis HaGadolah. And when I pray, I'm supposed to reflect upon these words which come from prophetic inspiration, whose source is the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, and I can reflect upon these things just as I reflect upon God's creation. And this will invoke a tremendous love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this concept is what's called Aveda Shebalev. This is the service of tefillah, prayer. That's the Shittas HaRambam, in my opinion. That's why he says Nevi'im. Is that, you're asking about me? Whatever it is, that's the Mahalach. The Ram emphasized the name Nevi'im. It's interesting. The object of the Gedolei word, all Nevi'im. The Gemara says in Megillah, that they had among them Nevi'im. It's very interesting that I'm answering the question too. What do you need Nevi'im? But not to the Gedolei. I mean, l'bashamayim he. The answer is to compose a nusach tefillah in Nevi'im. Because otherwise, we could not possibly make a positive attribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why you need the Nevi'im. Okay, very good. Yeah.
L'bashamayim he was much later.
What?
Rabbi Shemayim hears much later.
Well, first of all, yes and no. The Maisa.
Kozman of the Sanhedrin was B'Shemayim. No?
What?
Kozman of the Sanhedrin and Nevoah, it was B'Shemayim.
There is a sheet of the Meiri, like what you're saying, but I'm not sure that every yeshiva should go be masking to you. I mean, the Gemara says, "Lo nitug l'shus l'nevim l'chadish b'davar." It is true that the incident in the Testament based on Metziah is speaking about the time of Rabbi Yezhar Gadol and Rabbi Akiva, but I'm sure that but most of us would understand the Lo b'Shamayim he, since it's actually a pasuk in the Torah. In fact, you want to know something? It's certainly before that. I can bring a raya from Tvura to Zayin Amud Aleph in the article edition, the 416 side A. That in fact, actually, that they asked that Yeshua forgot halacha,
mm-hmm.
And the Gemara said, and what is Yeshua? What does he say? Lo b'shamayim me. So you see, it's not true, right? There's what to speak about here. Maybe we'll have a separate series of lectures on Lo b'shamayim me. But based upon the Gemara and Tamor, I could certainly claim that Lo b'shamayim me come after Moshe came after immediately after the door of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua. I'm just saying there's room for pimple here. Your statement, even though the Meiri happens to agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But, Derech Agav, now that we're speaking about Shemayim, I want to correct the Kesed Mishnah. Because the Rambam, in Perek Tes, brings the Pasuk, Ela Dvorim, She'ein Novi Rosh L'Chadosh Boi Dova. And the Rambam says, Lo b'shamayim he. So the Kesef Mishnah says the Bekor of the Rambam is the Testament base in Bamatzia. With great respect to Rahana Beit Yosef, that's not true. The Bekor of the Rambam is the Zayin Amud Aleph in Tamura. Why is that true? Well, the Pashas is, why is the Rambam bring both Pesukim? But the real reason that's true is, because the Rambam like this, if from the Testament base above Mitzvah, I know I'm going off on a tangent, but I think this is an important tangent to go off on, because this is a Kiddush that I've always wanted to put on the internet. From the Testament base in above Mitzvah, the adage Lo b'Shamayim only applies if there's a machlokes dispute to adjudicate a halachic dispute based upon a sign from heaven, just by some type of divine sign. But the Rambam says, you can't learn pshat, you can't interpret a pasuk based upon prophetic inspiration. Where do I get it from? The New Testament base in Bamatziah? I claim it has to be from Tamura. So the Kesef Mishnah, in my opinion, of course I say this with great humility, but the Kesef Mishnah, in my opinion, is Tzorach Iyun Gadol. The Makor is Tezayin with base in Tezayin in Tamura. That's the core of the Rambam. I think I once said this at a bav mitzvah. My brother-in-law Yosef said he had the same ha'orah. I wasn't sure whether to believe him. But anyway, but I asked Bechila Yosef that in fact actually, it was choshen b'kshen. I mean, I don't know if it's choshen, but I was really choshen b'kshen. But he says to me he had the same ha'orah the Rambam. But I was brave enough to say it at this bar mitzvah. Okay, fine. Now, let's go further than Marina Bulchet. Okay, is that fine? Okay, fine.
Tefillah has nothing to do with a relationship between the individual and God.
It's not a direct relationship, right.
It's not a relationship at all. It's just the human's apprehension. It's a way for the human to apprehend God's existence.
Right, right. It's the love of God. In other words, how do I love God? You don't directly love God. That's Christianity. Christianity, you love God. God is perfect. You love him. But in Judaism, you don't directly love God, at least according to the Rambam. You study the world, and this brings forth the love of God.
Tefillah is not talking to God either.
Well, obviously not, because if I'm talking directly to God, how do you talk to God? In Rambam, in Maimonides, negative theology, how do you talk directly to God? We know something, even a Navi is not speaking to God. According to the Rambam, except to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Navi, for the Rambam, it's mashma, that the Navi somehow picks up these thoughts of God. He's not tricked. For the Rambam, is an overflow from God. The Navi is also not speaking directly to God. The only Navi that speaks directly to God is Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll speak about Moshe Rabbeinu some other time. In fact, that's what the Rambam means when he says repeatedly in the section of prophecy, I'm not going to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is a different chavtza from the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im are picking up the thoughts of God. Just like Penzias and Wilson picked up radiation from the Big Bang. They picked it up. And from this radiation, we can create equations which tells about the Big Bang. That's what Navi is doing. But he's not directly speaking to God. Moshe Rabbeinu, though, seems to be directly speaking to God, even though there's very little about Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mayan Avucha. And that's the big surprise that I'm going to up with in the 20th shir over here. Where's Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mayan Avucha? It's not there. There's more Moshe Rabbeinu in the Yigim Nikim than there is in the Mayan Avucha. Yeah.
But if that's the analogy, then the Navi could be wrong.
What?
If that were the analogy, then it's like the radiation of the Big Bang, then the Navi can make mistakes. Then the Navi would make mistakes. But here,
So in other words, first of all, I think there is actually a doubt that says a Navi can make mistakes. Or maybe Sefer Ikrim. Sefer Ikrim says the Navi. Sefer Ikrim says the Navi can make a mistake. Mm-hmm. I think Sefer Ikrim says the Navi can make a mistake. But no, because, I mean, look.
The study of Torah seems to say no.
What?
The study of Torah seems to say we're testing precisely because he makes a mistake, we kill him.
No, because he predicts something that's not going to be true. But we say, no, so that's what we say, no, but why would he make a mistake? In other words, if he predicts something that's not going to be true, he was certain of something, and he made a mistake, so therefore it must be that he's a Navi Sheker. I'm not sure I understand your question. In other words, if I'm hearing these thoughts of God and tuning into them, probably I can't make a mistake.
That's not like deducing Big Bang from traces.
I understand what you're saying, because maybe the thoughts of God are different than the Big Bang. It's, in other words, there's no question about the Navi has to interpret something. The Rambam says that in Yesenia Tei, it says the Bar Yochai. The Navi is interpreting something. The Navi is not telling you. The Navi doesn't speak to God, doesn't hear from God. He interprets something. Everybody says that about Navi. The Navi sees a marshal, interprets the marshal. Everybody says about Navi. Only Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't see a marshal. That's called speculation of Mira. Akele Kach, the Yikub says he can make a mistake. But in other words, the fact is that the Navi makes predictions. He's called a Navi Sheker. We claim that such a mistake to predict something which is not true, right, he must have been sure of it. Therefore, he must be a Navi Sheker. I don't want to go into this, but in other words, I think the analogy of the Rambam is clear. That's real for sure, my Mandian prayer. Okay, fine. Now, goes on the Rambam and continues. We're on page 150. Okay? It's interesting, the Rambam puts this in like Derech Agav. Why did the Rambam make this so difficult to figure out? Interesting thing. I guess maybe the Rambam, I don't know. This is just, I guess. If what I'm saying is true, which I think it clearly is true, the Rambam stuck this in a little bit. I think maybe the fact is that we don't really naturally look at tefillah in that way. Maybe if a person thought this was tefillah, maybe most people wouldn't daven. Could possibly that after this internet shiur, maybe people are not going to daven mincha. I'm just saying, there's no one thinks it's tefillah like this. So the Rambam, this is one of the, the Rambam somehow has to be meramis, has to allude to it. In other words, it's not your typical understanding of what tefillah is. Although, I claim, I think in my article I claim, that L'maisa the Briska hold like this too, of Chaim Soloveitchik. If I'm not mistaken, I can't really remember everything I say, but actually I claim that this, what the Rambam says, is actually mashma, the way Rab Chaim learns in the Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah. Now I see it's out of this article. But the Rambam, the Rab Chaim says the Mishnah Torah, Rab Chaim says in the Mishnah Torah, there was Kavod in Tefillah. This is the first Rab Chaim. Right? It's what? Standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? And Perish Amilim. What's Perish Amilim? What's Perish Amilim, if not what? Reflecting upon the words. When you think about it, right? If you daven with Perish Amilim, and Rab Chaim is getting that from the Rambam, it's like Perish Amilim and Shaz. Reflecting upon the words, that's Maimonidean tefillah, a la negative theology. It's also brisket tefillah. Brisket tefillah. Okay. Reflect upon the words, Perish Amilim. It's not drushes on the tefillah. It's Perish Amilim. Reflecting upon the Perish Amilim constitutes kavanah in tefillah. Okay. Let's go further. Page 150. He's barring for Kamla Khamina to Vama Ella Shalomut Allah Spell Bakalata Aram Yukhatsam Lahab Sifra Navia Vulay Maisam. Sharehu Loy Oma Imali Abrino Mesh Abeinu. In other words, but rather Elohoisif Vasan Jagadela Tiknu Batfila. Basically, what the Rambam wants to come up with in this paragraph is to slam those people who composed tefillahs who weren't from the Anchigasa Gadela. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the Rambam is referring to here. I'm sure the scholars will probably tell you. But the Rambam is attacking people who composed fillers and decided to give a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to give God accolades without any prophetic basis. And that's what he does. Right? At the end he says, he calls it, it's Lashon Hara and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam says on page 151, I'm on the fifth line, it's an Aveir Gadol, it's a terrible sin. To speak Lashon Hara in a person. Allah's come of a Kamat. He taught Lashon Klapi Kael. He spoke Lashon Hara about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You said he had a body. You said he has accolades. It's Lashon Hara. Chas v'shalom. God forbid. Any oimer shezai saveira ela cheil v'gidu pishkaga. Mistakenly, what are you doing? You're cursing. You're blaspheming towards a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mitzad ha-homein. Mitzad ha-homein am. Mitzad the masses, Hashemeo Mitzad Oisai Bor Ha'oimer, that idiot who composed these, that ignoramus who composed these prayers. In other words, what the Rambam is saying too here is that doesn't mean that everybody can compose a prayer. A prayer has to have words which are rooted in what? Which are rooted in prophecy, and the person who composed the prayer has to be a Navi. Maybe speaking about the Piyutim. The Sfarim, I don't think, say Piyutim, do they? At least not. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. Okay?
Rambam wasn't officially involved in that controversy.
Controversy was afterwards, or maybe not?
It would be Ben Ezra.
Yeah. I mean, it's about Chlokas Rishonim in Rosh Hashanah by saying the Piyuta. That's a different thing. I mean, I don't know if that's.
No, Ben Ezra attacked the Kalir.
Yeah, the Kalir, right? But I'm trying to think, is that has to do with the Kuda. I don't know. The Rambam clearly is attacking people, says the Rambam, who compose prayers, who create all different kinds of accolades to try to Kodesh Baruch, when in fact you shouldn't do it. The Rambam is a Gemara, connected that. But the point is, the Rambam is saying is, not only do the words have to have the origin of prophecy, but the person who composed literature has to be a prophet too. Because after all, it has to be a work that has divine prophet that has inspiration. Which means saying that Kaliyah was a Tana doesn't necessarily help me. He has to be fancy because it's like a Daila. Bistama, if he's a Tana, Lo Bashamayim me. Even Rabbi Sally will agree with me in the Tesla of the base by that time. In other words, it has to be Fadiq Gadol with Nevi'im. Anyone less than a Novi cannot compose a prayer with liturgy. Okay, now, he goes on and attacks them. Is that really what I want to go into right now? And he says, he finally says, "Al tachu imashu tigdon shkaz gadoyla b'tfilas and brachas." Don't go beyond. Well, the anchor of the gadoyla were besaken and acting the tfilas and the brachas, the blessings. V'day bekach behechra. It's enough what they did. Dayad ba'oy. Enough. He's actually going on in this. Kafi sha'omer Rab Chanina. In other words, basically, the Rambam is saying is Rab Chanina is speaking to all those future composers of liturgy and prayers who are basically doing stupid things and blasphemy towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's enough. It's enough to pray like the Anshikas HaGadoyla. Okay? Now, what about other accolades? So says the Rambam. I'm now on page 151, third paragraph. I want to skip over all these, the Rambam sharp statements. As Yesra Ta'ala Ba'afim Asifra Nevi'im. What about the other accolades, attributes that appear in the prophets? Yesh Likoy Shah Sha'ovim Aleya. One should, right? Read them. Ah, now says the Rambam, when a person reads them, a person has to believe that really we're describing an act of God. Or speaking about something that he isn't. But says the Rambam, you shouldn't spread this to the masses. Why not? In other words, says the Rambam, when you read the Nevi'im, you should also have in mind that the prophets are not describing Kadosh Baruch Hu, but rather that they're describing acts of God. But says the Rambam, you shouldn't spread this among the masses. Right? They should only spread it to Yechidei Skula. Only for special people. Actually, who understand that by attributing to God things which are not proper is not a way of glorifying God. Which, interesting enough, is the Rambam is saying is that the same thing which the Rambam says in Perek Chavav, that the Haman and the masses have to believe that somehow they're praising God and that's a good thing. You shouldn't actually, in fact, try to dispel the notions of prayer, which, if I ruined your davening today too, of course, this internet is only, this year is only Yechidei Skula. In other words, don't tell all your friends that Rabbi Treibitz said that one perceives the liturgy of the tefillah like one, you know, perceives the, you know, the mathematical structure of the universe. Let people daven the way they're davening. In other words, the Rambam, in fact, is actually taking a note from the Chumash. If the Chumash was able to tolerate anthropomorphisms of God, certainly it's able to tolerate acts of God and accolades of God. So it says the Rambam, just like, in other words, this is only something that you should spread to action. Now, the interesting thing is, which I want to get at, is that, according to what I'm saying, we want to reflect on the acts of the Nevi'im. So, the answer is, the Anshei Knesset Gedoyla were the ones who said reflect upon this. In other words, they put it in the prayer because they said that the service of tefillah is to reflect upon these accolades. But it doesn't mean when I read the prophets, reflecting upon them, in other words, is an act of devotion. In other words, it could possibly be when I read Chumash, I should reflect upon them. The Rambam says when I read Chumash, I reflect upon them. But I should know that the accolade, that really we can't praise God directly. In other words, when I reflect upon the words of the Navi, I'm reflecting upon God's actions. That's what the Rambam is saying. So if you put my back to wall and say, what are these terms describing? So intellectually, rationally, I'll say, the terms are describing acts of God. When I read the scriptures, I reflect upon these thought acts of God. That's what I'm doing, the acts of the words of prophecy. But this is something that I don't tell the Hamoinah. Okay, now. Let's go further. Aksul Hashem Adayik as Hasiba Tsubas Halev El Divir Rab Chanina. He's going back to Rab Chanina. Hu lo yamar. Now he says, He didn't say, Moshul Lamahadava Doima. He didn't say, there's a metaphor for this. What is this symbol to? How can we describe this with a metaphor? The Melech Boss of Adav to a king of flesh and blood, Shehoyelo Elif Alof of Denari Zov, right? That he has thousands of gold pieces, of a council of a man arm, and we praise him with 10, with 100 gold pieces. She came, Moshul Zayamoyer Al Kash Shlemutzi Zali Shlemus Yezvi Shlemus Elam Yuchas Loi of Shememina. Very good. A beautiful diyuk of the Rambam. I don't think a nice diyuk. The Rambam knew how to learn. The Gemara says, "What's the mashal? A king has thousands of gold pieces, and I praise him with silver. Gold is with silver. It didn't say that his thousand gold pieces. I praise him with 100 gold pieces. Why? Because that would imply, obviously, that what? That there is a perfection to God. Except that what? Man does not have enough accolades to describe his perfection. But there is a perfection. What the Rambam is saying is that language cannot describe God whatsoever. And this goes back to what I spoke about in the ontological argument that Christianity believes that God is perfect. We cannot ascribe perfection to God. The notion of perfection is a purely human notion, and that's the Rambam says. Right? The Rambam says. He said, silver. The Hoylois. Once again, to repeat this paragraph, listen to this Dr. Benor. Shetzlenu Shlamius, Shlamius, perfection for us, has nothing to do with God. Shlamius, Shetzlenu Shlamius, Amy Minoi Klum. Our concept of perfection is not related to God. In other words, you can't attribute to God perfection. Even any human perfection, which you attribute to God, is a chisaron. It's a lack. Kafishu uvhar. It's a ganai. That's what Rabbi Chanina says. In other words, the point is, Rabbi Chanina is enunciating the true Das Torah Jewish philosophy, that we cannot attribute to God perfection because perfection is something which is a human concept. It's a transcendental, which has no connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu of himself. That's what the Rambam is saying. Okay, now, Baruch Hashem, we finished Perek Nun Tes, chapter 59, which is a very central chapter in the Rambam's negative theology. And the Rambam has several important chapters where he actually speaks about statements that are made about a Kodesh Baruch Hu and in the Torah and Chazal and tries to explain them. Right? We're going to speak about that in Birkat Hashem. The fact is, however, is that after the Rambam explains all these things, he's finally going to get to chapter 68, Perek Samaches. And there the Rambam is actually going to violate his entire negative theology. He's going to attribute to God knowledge and will and intellect. And one of the major difficulties, essential problems in the entire section of negative theology is how can the Rambam reverse himself and actually describe God's essence in terms of knowledge and intellect, etc. That's going to be one of the major issues that we deal with. However, what I think I'm going to do is that we're going to actually go very, very quickly through Prokem Samach through Samach Zayin, from 1667, because this program, basically the Rambam just sort of like goes into details and explains how we can understand certain times when the Torah apparently violates negative theology, Chazal, how do we explain these things? And then after that, we're going to actually merge, we're going to go to the central issues of how does it all fit with the fact that the Rambam at the very end of the section of theology does in fact describe God's essence in more than one way. That's going to be a major, that's going to be one of the major problems in the issue of negative theology. So I think that basically we're going to finish this shiur. I think we have some time to go, but I think we'll finish it at this point, because to go on a news topic would actually enter into a whole, I think probably reflect upon this as the way it is. In fact, everything I've said I want you to reflect upon. My life imitates the Moreno Vulcan. And reflect very deeply upon what I said. And into the midship, until next year, everybody, Baruch Batzlacha Kol Tov. Mendelssohn, man.